Maybe if you stroke it a little bit, fluff it up. Padded Room Radio is on the air, you animals. My name is Darian. I've been called the H.P. Lovecraft of horror podcasting. Buddy is here. I think he's going to throw up. I think he's going to just gave me the puke face.
Sneezing face.
Oh, are you going to sneeze? What are you going to do?
I don't know.
I like to stay abreast of your bodily function, sir.
I tickle my nose, so okay, it shouldn't happen.
Buddy's in the house. What's up, buddy?
Oh, not much. How you doing?
I'm good. We are without Miss Monica this evening, inmates. I apologize. Well, I'm not apologizing, but because it's not her fault and it's not my fault. It's that fucking bitch boss of hers.
Yeah.
I don't know what that lady's deal is, but I'll go to Carson and I'll throat chop her.
Right?
Like, kapow! Right in the chops. Buddy, what's up with you, dude? I understand you did some world traveling.
Yes.
Here in the last week.
Yeah, I saw Journey and Def Leppard.
Wow, you went right back to 1984.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
Thanks. Yeah, concert was great. I tell you, that Filipino singer for Journey is just amazing.
It's pretty good stuff?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you close your eyes, sounds just like him.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
So what happened to the original guy? He's got throat cancer or something?
Something like that, yeah.
He just doesn't do it anymore?
I guess not.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
You ever watch any Journey music videos?
Mm-mm.
They are the undisputed kings of that 80s dance thing where you just get in front of the camera and you just do the shoulder twist like that. They do it like nobody. I swear to Christ, one of them is going to spin completely around at some point. It's one day love will find you. You can tell I've been doing that in the mirror a lot lately.
Yeah, it looks like you've been practicing.
Oh, it's true. Inmates, we got a couple of announcements to make here before we get into the regular shit show. First off, we are about to welcome another show here to the Padded Room Network. Our own Alan Cha-Cha is going to be bringing us a true crime podcast.
Yes.
Wicked Wednesdays, I believe, is what he's going to be calling it.
Very cool.
So I'm very excited to hear that and hear what him and Shelley come up with. I believe Shelley's doing it with him. So it's going to be, we may need subtitles on this with the Southern drawls.
Yeah. You think Cherry Cola will make an appearance?
Oh, I hope to God Cherry Cola shows up at some point. That's beautiful. Also, inmates, we're going to be, just in the interest of keeping everything, you know, not swamping your RSS feeds, we're going to be splitting the feeds very soon, probably in the next week or two. As you know, we've got Cake Wolf out there. He's kicking out an episode like every other day. Be it RPG stuff or movie reviews. On top of that, we got Tim and Benny over in Australia. They got their own episodes. We have our episodes, and now we're going to be adding Alan. Don't want to bog down your RSS feed, so we're going to be splitting those. You're still going to find everything under the Padded Room Network flagship. I'm not 100% sure how this is going to work, though.
Hmm.
It's an option that we can enable on Podbean.
Okay.
So you may end up, this is just fair warning, you may end up having to go and resubscribe to various shows here on the Padded Room Network. We're all still friends. We all still love each other, but it's just, you know, we don't want to bomb your iPhone is what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I used to hate. I mean, I love Joe Rogan, but his episodes are like 4 hours long. So you listen, you get like halfway through one and then the next one drops. And you're still not caught up on the first one, and then another one drops, and before you know it, you're like 12, 16 episodes back, and your iPhone is giving you the memory warning.
Yeah.
So you're fucked. So I want to make sure that we don't do that. keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye on the Facebook page. I'll be posting instructions as to what you need to do to continue to get all your favorite shows here in the Padded Room Network.
And for your Patreon subscribers, that's not going to affect you guys at
no,
all.
No, not at all. In the meantime, amigo, it's just me and you tonight.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the love. I'm feeling the man love.
You feeling frisky?
I am. I've got one shot of tequila and half a orange monster in me.
All right.
That's what I like to call the love potion, buddy.
Okay.
Let's get into the usual shenanigans here, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
How about some horror news?
Yeah.
Horror news.
What do you got, man?
All right, so World War Z sequel is to begin filming in June next year.
I don't really care. Yep. What do you think, man? You ready for a World War Z sequel?
I'm curious where they're going to go with it.
Yeah.
The reason why it's taking so long is because it was delayed due to Brad Pitt filming Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So that's why it's getting all delayed.
When did the first World War Z come out? 2015, I think.
That sounds
so. We're looking
right
at a 5-year gap probably before we actually get to see this thing.
Right. And Brad Pitt is playing the same characters.
So. I don't know, man. I wasn't that impressed with the first one.
Yeah.
All right.
James Gunn. He's going to write and possibly direct DC's Suicide Squad Part 2.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. Robert Englund is coming back to play Freddy Krueger one more time in the brand new The Goldbergs Imaginary Gallery.
I saw that. What the hell is The Goldbergs?
I don't know. Some show.
Perfect.
Basically, it's a title called Mr. Knifey Hands. Despite Beverly's wishes, Jackie's parents allow Adam to watch A Nightmare on Elm Street, and a disagreement between the families ensues. But Beverly dreams of facing off with horror icon Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund, which teaches her an important lesson about her son's relationship with Jackie. Meanwhile, Erica realizes she's not as popular as she once was as she starts hanging out with William Penn Academy, despite the fact that she's no longer a student there. Sounds kind of weird, but...
Yeah, I feel like if I didn't watch every episode of The Goldbergs, then I probably wouldn't understand a lot of the humor.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I don't really care, so...
Well, in case you're interested, it's ABC's Goldbergs. First episode will be airing on Wednesday, October 24th.
Oh, this is a new show?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be like a sitcom, and they just happen to be squeezing Robert Englund. Oh, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. So I'm actually surprised he's doing this, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, he said repeatedly that he would never do that again.
Right. And here he goes.
All righty there.
One episode.
Paycheck.
Yeah.
Somebody's got some bills to pay. I don't blame him. I'd do it, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you got to, you know. Dude, if that was me, I would ride that train right into the ground.
Wait, what,
I'd be
what
like
train?
The Freddy Krueger train.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd be like, God damn it, I'm 95, I weigh 300 pounds. Oh, here I come, bitch.
That's right. Well, that's all I got. What do you got?
Oh, what do we have here? Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
You know it, you love it. They are currently streaming the X-rated version of RoboCop.
Oh, I didn't know there was one.
Me neither. I'm very interested to see what that entails.
Yeah.
X-rated. Like, because, I mean, the R-rated version is actually pretty bad as far as violence goes.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see, like an extra 14 seconds of boobs, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know.
I wonder what you had to do in 1987 to get an X rating. I have no idea. I mean, obviously, there's not going to be any hardcore penetration or
probably
anything like
that. Probably like a blowjob, maybe?
Like a
prostitution?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I'm interested to check it out.
Yeah, interesting.
I know you have zero time on your hands, so you haven't seen a single episode of Castle Rock, but it is getting an HD and Blu-ray release.
Wow.
I haven't watched it yet either.
Okay.
I'm going to at some point. Maybe a couple of years from now, I'll catch up on it.
Right.
Todd McFarlane, that name ring any bells?
Yeah.
Comic book artist.
Mm-hmm.
He plans on bringing back the Movie Maniacs action figures. Do you remember those guys?
Oh, yeah.
You could get like a Leatherface, they were like $15 a piece,
mm-hmm.
but the quality on these things was pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
There was a Candyman, a Creeper, I already said Candyman, Leatherface. There was like, he did like three or four different series of them.
And he's bringing it back?
He says he's bringing it back. I don't know. I don't really have any room for any action figures in here anymore.
Yeah, I wonder.
Except the kind you can beat off to.
Right.
So.
I wonder how much they're going to go for.
Probably about the same.
Think so?
Yeah, you go to. I went to Barnes & Noble earlier this week. Uh-huh. They had the He-Mans with the horror icons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're like $6 a piece.
Oh, wow.
I was like, yeah, I could buy them, and then my dog would take them out in the backyard and chew them to shit, and then I would be out $24 probably. Yeah. So fuck that.
All right.
What else we got here? TNT has ordered Raised by Wolves, which is going to be a Ridley Scott series.
Oh.
No idea what it's about.
Hmm.
Hopefully it has something to do with werewolves.
Right.
That'd be probably cool. More on the sci-fi spectrum, because that's kind of Ridley Scott's thing.
Yeah.
Might be something to think about. Is there anybody still? Is there anything worth watching on TNT?
Not that I know of.
I can't. I think they don't even have wrestling anymore.
Wow.
They used to have wrestling at one point, I think.
Hmm.
No more. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know, but TNT is dynamite.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Dynamite.
Hey-o! looks like Netflix. Netflix has released Blumhouse's Seven in Heaven.
Yeah.
A new Blumhouse horror film. I have no idea what it's about.
Okay.
I haven't gotten a chance to check it out yet. Might be something to think about for immersion therapy moving forward. And that's about all we got on the horror news.
All right.
You maniac. Let's get into some horror or listener mail if we could, please.
Yes.
For Christ's sakes, buddy. Can we please get into some listener mail?
Listener mail.
Mm-hmm. We got emails, we got voicemails, we got all kinds of fun stuff. Let's start it off in Oakland, California with my pod girlfriend, Angel.
Hey, Angel.
Angel's in the house. Subject line, hey, padded room peeps. I'm glad I wasn't the only one who thought Miss Monica was Fright Night. I knew it didn't quite fit, though, so I didn't guess it. I'm totally thrown off this week with those clues. I thought I had it until she said island. Now I have no idea. Excited for the semifinals in the Terra Dome. There's some good matchups. I just returned from Atlanta for work, where I stayed at a beautiful property that very much reminded me of the farm in Season 2 of The Walking Dead. My coworkers kept making Deliverance jokes, but when I said what it reminded me of, one of the locals said a lot of The Walking Dead was filmed around there, and that some of the actors even lived in that particular village that we were in. It was a historic farm that the owners built a little town on. Quite interesting and fun. It's called Serenbe. S-E-R-E-N-B-E. Serenbe.
Something like that.
If any inmates get the chance to check it out. Angel. Thanks for writing in, Angel.
Yeah, very cool.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it does.
My work never... I get to go to Fallon for my work.
We got
to
take our own field trips.
We should. You need to take some time off of work, you maniac. That's the problem. Let's see who's up next here. Here comes Nikki from right here in Reno, Nevada.
Hey, Nikki.
Subject line, response to my voicemail. Oh, I guess he called in also. Hey, guys. I left a voicemail earlier this week in which I bitched about Venom's PG-13 rating. While it would have been better as an R-rated film, it was still super badass. I can't wait for it to come out on DVD, as it will be a day one buy. There's more to talk about, too, but I don't want to spoil the film for anyone who hasn't seen it. Take care, guys, and I'll talk to you again soon. Nick.
Very cool.
Thanks, Nick.
I saw that, too.
Venom?
I'll be talking about that.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
I've not heard anything good about it.
We'll get there.
Just give me one of these. Okay. All right. All right. Granted, all the people I've talked to are comic book dorks.
Yeah, and see, well, I'll get into
all right, later. Well, then don't get ahead of yourself there. Here comes Cake Wolf.
Hey, Cake Wolf.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Subject line, yo. Hope you guys enjoy tonight's movie. Thanks for the action horror month. Hey, you paid for it, Cake Wolf. Thank you.
Yeah.
Here he comes again. Subject line, all hail Alan Cha-Cha.
Cha-Cha.
All hail Alan Cha-Cha. Right on, Cake Wolf.
All right.
Here he comes one more time. Spook you. Spook you. What are your favorite ghost films? Ooh, that's a tough one. There's some good ones out there. Any of them come to mind, buddy?
No.
I'm going to give you my top three. Number one is going to be Cairo, which is actually Japanese.
Japanese, yeah.
Have you seen that one?
Yes, seen that one.
That is a bad motherfucker, yeah, man. When really it gets into one. The audio stuff and the help me and mm-hmm. all that shit. Ooh. And then the, like that weird dream sequence where the ghost is running at him, but in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
It fucking freaked me right out. That would be probably be my number one. Number two, I really like The Legend of Hell House with Roddy McDowell. Number three, I got a soft spot for Ghost Story. Have you ever seen Ghost Story from 1983?
Yeah.
Fred Astaire.
Yep.
You don't know anything. A lot of overacting. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Very cool.
What do you think, man? Give me one of your favorite ghost movies.
I don't know.
Insidious, maybe?
Those are good.
Poltergeist, maybe. Mm-hmm. What else?
Probably when I was younger, The Poltergeist. I haven't seen it in so long.
Conjuring, pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Would you call it... No, I was going to say Sinister. That's not really a ghost movie.
No.
Maybe like a... I don't know. There's a lot of good ones, man. Stir of Echoes comes to mind.
Oh, yeah. That was
What
really
Lies
good
Beneath, another good one. Mm-hmm. That was like a nice 90s, like late 90s range of like top-notch, like... A-list celebrity ghost movies that came out there.
Yeah, what was that one? The firefighter one where the static is coming through the screen and it's the son trying to talk to his dad.
And there's static coming through the screen?
Like the TV screen. And I think then it had it. They were able to talk over the radio or something.
Oh, Frequency?
Yeah,
I think, yeah, with Dennis Quaid.
That was a good
one. Yeah, that was all right. That ended up being like a weird time loop thing, though,
yeah,
wasn't it? Yeah, it was kind of nutty. Right on, man. Thanks for writing in, Cake Wolf.
Yeah.
That's all we got on the emails. Let's do a voicemail or two.
Mm-hmm.
Got some inmates to talk to here. Let's go to... It's from right here in Reno, Nevada. It's Nikki.
Oh,
what's
Nikki
up,
again.
Nikki?
Cool.
He said he called in.
Buddy, Darian, and Monica, how the hell are you guys? It's Nick from Reno.
Nikki!
I haven't called in and... Because I got a new job.
Oh, boy.
I've been busy as shit. I haven't been able to listen to a podcast in months.
What's your problem?
But, finally, I'm getting back to it.
You better.
I wanted to call you guys, say what's up. As you guys, I think, know, the Senorita and I ended up getting married.
We
married
heard?
Over in Peru. She has a shit ton of family. You know how Latino girls are. Thousands of them. But, we did all and, yeah, so Darian, I've been playing Dead by Daylight, too.
Nice.
The game is badass.
Right.
I'm not great at it.
Me neither.
But I'm having a good... that new fucking Phantom, whatever the hell her name is, she fucks me up every time.
The Samurai Sword.
But, hey,
got a she's a bad right? bitch.
Whatever. So, also, I didn't hear anything about it from you guys last week, but Venom coming out this week. Wondering if any of you guys are seeing that.
I
don't know about you, but I'm kind of bummed that it didn't have an R rating because Venom is supposed to be brutal and gory.
Right.
And now it's going to be fucking Fox Kids shit. I mean, I'm sure it'll still be good. You know, Tom Hardy doesn't make bad movies. Every man on the planet has a man crush on Tom Hardy. I don't care who the fuck you are.
I would agree.
So hopefully you guys see that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I'm going to try to see it this weekend. We'll see how it goes. Hope you guys are all doing good, and I hope to see you guys around Halloween time.
Absolutely.
Senorita's work schedule's a little crazy, but we're gonna do our best to figure it out. So anyway, you guys take care, and I will be in touch a lot more often. I'm gonna fucking make it work somehow. All right, guys,
you better, goddamn. Bye. About to send a Very search cool. party out after old Nikki there.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right on, good Nick. To see you.
So. Yeah. So... You saw it.
Yeah.
Right? Now, a lot of... It was touted as a horror film. Would you call it a horror film?
No.
No? More what?
More
action?
Action, horror elements.
Okay.
But I agree, it should have had an R rating.
All right. Everything's better with an R rating.
Yeah.
Come on now. All righty. Let's go to our soon-to-be coworker all the way in Alabama. It's Alan...
Alan Cha-Cha.
Padded room, what's up?
What's going on, Alan? What's up,
it's
Alan?
The Quentin Tarantino people that call into your show. Anyway, I have no idea who Monica is.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the Megadeth. Dude, thank you for letting us join your network. I'm really looking forward to doing this show with Shelly.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah.
Like you said, I cannot thank you enough for letting us join the network. Makes you feel all special and junk.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope everybody's doing good. Hope everybody had a good week. Looking forward to this new Terradome. That's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye. All right.
Beautiful. Thanks for calling in, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Nut House, amigo. Welcome to the inner circle of the Nut House. here comes Tom Hardy all the way from Southern California. We had a beer or two with Tom Hardy last week.
The man, the myth, the legend.
I'm just going to say that we had a good time with Tom Hardy on Wednesday night. I had to leave early because I had to go to work the next day. From what I understand, you two continued to rock and roll on into the night.
Yes.
Like a couple of fucking savages on a Wednesday night at a casino bar. Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, boy.
Here he comes.
Heyo!
Heyo!
How's my favorite degenerates this week?
We are good, sir.
Y'all doing well. No Terradome this week.
That's
still
right.
Wanted to get a call in. Also, wanted to thank Buddy and Darian for agreeing to meet up last week. Really appreciate it. I got to say to all the inmates, these guys, very, gracious hosts, very generous with their time. I realize, of course, you guys have, work, lives, family, and all that. So it was a real pleasure to meet you out there.
Nice meeting you,
hopefully
sir.
We can do it again sometime,
Absolutely.
Or if you're down here. Miss Monica, hopefully you'll be able to make it next time. And
right.
Like I said, if you're down here, let's definitely get together.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Other than that, don't have anything else. Just wanted to say thank you again. And one thing. I've heard Darian and I believe Buddy as well say that Miss Monica's husband is the Antichrist, flying people with alcohol and
it's
whatnot.
True.
I don't know. That's not how it happened that night. I remember somebody else ordering the unofficial shot of Reno, the Tuwaka, putting us in that bad state. But anyway, thanks again for your time. One question that did come up, we were talking a remake that you would like to see, and I got a couple of chuckles when I said that the remake that I would like to see would be Spookies. And they had a couple chuckles at that. But I still think that wasn't a alcohol decision there. I still think that'd be a great remake with the right money. I mean, that movie had a little bit of everything. It had, fart monsters, a wizard, skeletons and zombies, a giant spider. I still think that would be a great flick.
If you say so, man.
Though, I don't recall what you guys said remake you would like to see. Anyway, hope all is going well. Love you like family. Bye now.
Love you too, Tom Hardy.
Love you, Tom Hardy.
Remake I would like to see. Now, I would say Creature from the Black Lagoon, but I feel like if that's going
to... element.
Yeah, make the goddamn thing scary would be nice.
A monster, not a person.
Yeah, make some kind of a fucking thing with tentacles or something that's actually intimidating instead of a stupid dude in a suit.
It smashes everything.
Yeah, it just kind of lumbers around breaking your furniture, trying to get on your girlfriend, for Christ's sakes. That one comes to mind, but I don't know. I don't know where the Dark Universe thing is going now. So I'd like to think that is maybe in the works or maybe not. I don't know. Something else I'd like to see a remake of, maybe if we go way back, there's a franchise that started somewhat strong, but took a really quick shit. And for some reason they just kept cranking them out. It's called The Curse.
Oh, yeah.
You remember those? Mm-hmm. I think there's like six or seven of those goddamn things.
That many?
The first one was not bad. I mean, it was like, if I remember, it was like 1983 and, 80 schlock.
Right.
But it had some genuinely creepy elements.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind seeing that remade. Just the first one, though. You can fuck off with the rest of that stuff.
Right.
What do you think, buddy?
I know I said 976 Evil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think that would be pretty good. They made a few of those.
I think they would have to update that, though.
Well, yeah, because this old telephone.
It would have to be like a website or something, right? Yeah. It'd be like evil.com or something like
some
that.
Some shit like that.
Well, yeah. I'm going to call this fucking recording line and get my horoscope. Get the fuck out of here. All right, inmates, that's all we got on the listener mail. We're about to go live on YouTube, if anybody gives a shit. Got to talk a little Tokyo Gore Police. Buddy, do you have anything for Tom Hardy, Alan Cha-Cha, Cake Wolf, Nikki, or Angel?
Thanks, everybody, for calling and writing in. Tom Hardy, it was great to meet you.
Absolutely.
And Nick, welcome back.
Welcome back. Terradome resumes tonight, so get your fight cards ready. In the meantime, we have a movie to get into.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, Jesus. And we are back.
Yeah.
And we are live on YouTube, you filthy animals. We are talking about Tokyo Gore Police from 2008.
Jen says, way to be a rebel, Darian.
Hey, no tie. That means the gloves are off. I'm ready to get dirty. I'm not even wearing a tie. I'm a crazy man, Jen. Who is it, Jen?
Yep.
I'm a crazy man, Jen.
Alan likes gracious blood.
Gratuitous blood. You'll love this one then, but don't. Well, we'll get into that. All right. So it's written and directed by Yoshiro Nishimura. Mm-hmm. Stars Meiko Asano, Yokihide Beni, and JJ GGB. And there's a question mark after the B. Apparently, yeah. Oh. Apparently, in Japan, it's perfectly acceptable to add punctuation to your name.
Well, maybe they're thinking about it. Should we go with this name?
GGB.
Hmm. All right, that's what we're putting.
All right, GGB. That's what it is. This one starts off with a, I guess, an assassination. And what you got here is like a policeman, and I think what we actually started with was the daughter's recollection of the assassination. Now, what's going on is you got a policeman who is we're in Japan, obviously, and the policeman is trying to like protest the privatization of the Japanese police force. He's championing it staying a government agency, and somebody takes him out during one of his rally, shoots him right in the head in front of his daughter. So the daughter like snaps out of it. We're going to see that this is a a flashback / dream, and then we're going to cut to 2035, I guess, sometime in the future, where things don't make a whole lot of sense. And what we're dealing with now is something called engineers. Now, engineers, for all intents and purposes, are regular people who, when they get wounded, a weapon springs out of the wound. Am I right? Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
There's a weapon. So, like, if you get a paper cut, a butterfly knife is going to come out of the paper cut somehow.
And it's deadly.
It's got to be a Japanese thing, right?
It must be.
Does that make sense to anybody besides Japanese people? I have no idea.
Chet says, hi, cuz.
Who's Chet?
I don't know. Chet Lochner?
Is he your cousin? I don't think... Are you one of... Chet, are you my cousin or Buddy's cousin? Who cares?
And Raymond says, hey, everyone.
Raymond? Ray's in the house?
Yep.
Ray! Haven't heard from him in a while.
And Mary says, hey, buddy and friend.
I am friend. He is buddy.
Now that we're under introduced.
Yes. Friend, buddy. So that's the thing. And apparently the police force, the now privatized police force here in Japan, they do not like the engineers one bit. And at the onset of this movie, we can understand why, because we get a very ridiculous action sequence between this police force and an engineer who has gone crazy and taken hostages. So the engineer is up on the rooftop, and he's got like three or four hostages. These samurai policemen go running up there to confront him. They shoot him up pretty good. They Swiss cheese him, and then out from one of his limbs pops a chainsaw blade, and he can like whip it back and forth.
Yeah.
This is Resident Evil, is what it is. He's a Resident Evil villain. So that's pretty gnarly. But we have the daughter of the guy that got killed, who's now like in her 20s. She is an engineer hunter, and she works exclusively for the privatized police force. Her name is Ruka, and she's a bad bitch. But she's also got some emotional issues, and we know that because while she's waiting for them to call her to go deal with the engineer, she starts cutting on her wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a young lady with some issues, my friend.
Monica's on.
Hey, Monica!
She says, hi guys, let's get going on this fantastic movie. Alan jumps in. Did you ever see Takashi Miike dead? Alive? A dude pulls a rocket launcher out of his back, and another dude pulls a magic fireball out of his chest.
That sounds a lot better than what you watched.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Takashi Miike is very... He's good. This guy is like a 12-year-old with a couple million dollars to make a movie. And, I don't know, man. Anyway, so Ruka goes up to the rooftop to deal with this clown. Big sword fight. This guy's whipping the chainsaw back and forth using his weird chainsaw Ash Williams appendage. And apparently he's got some range on this thing because he's... Yeah. Watch out for that fucking thing.
I know, right?
So, Ruka, of course, gets the better of him. I think she cut him in half or something like that with her samurai sword. And that's all well and good. We have rectified the situation there on the rooftop with the hostage engineer guy up there. So, he's dead. From there, we're going to get a little snapshot into Ruka's daily life. She's a bit of a troubled character. I think the best part of this movie was the commercials.
Oh, yeah.
The commercial.
She's kind of hot, too.
Ruka? It's the Japanese schoolgirl thing, right?
Oh, yeah, it must be.
Ah, I never got into it. It feels weird and borderline pedophilic to me.
She reminded me of a DJ.
Ruka?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get that?
I don't know, just that outfit she was wearing.
Okay. I'm not seeing it, but if you say so. Anyway, Ruka's a bit of a troubled character. When she's not an engineer hunter, then she just is a regular beat cop, more or less. She has a bartender. Her best friend is a bartender, and periodically Ruka will stop by at her bar and have a drink while she's doing her patrol. A drink of orange juice, because, you know. We get a little flashback between her and the bartender. This made zero sense. Basically, back when Ruka was a kid, she was hanging out in the alley, cutting on herself, as I guess Japanese youth is wont to do. These two guys are like, hey, that chick is bleeding. Hey, come here. We're going to take you to the hospital.
I don't think they're really going to take her to a hospital.
That's all they said. They were like, hey, you're bleeding. Let's go to the hospital. And then the bartender comes out and she's like, get away from her. Let her bleed. And now Ruka and the bartender are best friends.
Yeah, we're going to go to a hospital.
You're a pervo.
You see the smirks on their faces?
They're trying to take her to a hospital. Do the right thing, buddy. They're trying to do the right thing here. You're getting all pervy with it. I don't know what that bartender's problem was. Apparently,
she saw the same thing I did.
I think you both are weird sex people is what it is. So that's weird, if you ask me. I mean, these guys are trying to do the right thing. Anyway, now Ruka and the bartender are best friends. Okay. From here, things get kind of weird. She gets like a distress call to police headquarters, and she's thinking, oh shit, there's some kind of a siege underway where the police are actually being raided by the engineers. So she hauls ass back to police headquarters, and she sees that the entire headquarters is completely empty. Nobody there. So she's walking around all creepy-like, thinking, oh fuck, something sure as shit went down here. We're in big trouble. Gets up to the top floor of the chief's office, and here we have a surprise party, surprise birthday party for Ruka. All the cops are there, and they're like, surprise! And we got some weird stuff going on with these cops, dude.
Yeah.
The chief, well, first off, they're cops, but they all have to wear, like, this cyber samurai armor, which is kind of wacky. I mean...
Well, they are going against engineers, so...
I know, but you would think they would come up with something better than samurai armor.
Yeah.
A little outdated, from what I understand. I don't know. Anyway, the chief has himself a gimp. A gimp. It's a gimp, right? I don't know what the fuck was the purpose of that thing.
See, it didn't have any legs, no arms, knees.
Yeah, no arms, no legs.
Yeah,
had like a weird
elbows, nothing.
Gas mask thing on, and the chief is leading it around like it's his dog or something.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to raise their hand at that meeting, chief. What do you got there, sir? Who is that guy or girl? Was it a guy? Who knows?
I don't know.
Gas mask. This thing is just kind of lumbering along. It's a person, mind you. Just no arms, no legs, and a weird S&M mask. But I guess it's the chief, so all right, whatever. Big surprise birthday party. Ruka's very excited about that. She almost half-assed cracks a smile there. Almost.
Almost.
She does like a...
Pretty good.
That's why we have video now.
That's right.
So that's all well and good. From there, she goes home, and we get like some more of these flashbacks and these nightmare sequences. These things are weird. We find out what was going on with her, with the cop assassination. The cop that got assassinated at the beginning was actually her dad. We get to see, like, he's at this big anti-privatization rally, and then somebody sneaks up on him and shoots him in the head. And then almost immediately after, the guy that shot him in the head gets shot in the head by a different dude who was behind that guy. So it's like a bang-bang is what it is.
See, yep.
Buddy's going to shoot me, and then my wife is going to come in here and shoot him almost immediately afterward.
Yep.
So, you know, she's kind of unlocking these memories as she goes. It's not really a compelling story, but at least it is a story.
Right.
Okay, so from there, we go to the next day on patrol. Now, this is where the story starts to kind of fall apart because some weird shit goes down. Now, again, this is a Japanese movie. I watched it on Amazon Prime and subtitled, so there might be quite a few things that were lost in translation, but it seemed to me that Ruka just kind of showed up at random buildings, started poking around and finding like random files and then following those. Is that what you got?
Yeah, that's what it was.
I don't understand that. I don't understand how she, what took her to that building or what made her want to go look around. And then she's going to like old abandoned factories and things like that. What is the point of that? Is that just part of her Hey, go check that place out.
That's why she's an engineer.
Oh, here's a file on somebody. Covered in dust, by the way. It's been here for 40 years. Riko Ishihara, I better go check this guy out.
Yeah.
I just think...
All addresses, everything.
Yeah, I just think she didn't have anything better to do. So she's like, put this on my log sheet. I came in here and investigated something.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's fun. From there, so that's what happens. She goes to this weird abandoned place, finds a random file laying on the floor, picks it up, looks at it. It's a young lady from somewhere else in Japan, and she is, for whatever reason, intrigued by the young lady in the file, so she's like, I'm going to check this bitch out. Now we're going to cut to that young lady. Her name is Issa, and she works at a fetish club, perhaps, or strip, a brothel, I think. Was it a brothel?
Yeah, maybe a brothel.
There was some dicks got sucked in this place, and I don't know if there was money exchanged or...
It was like a number thing.
A number?
Yeah.
You get like a number? A
number, and then...
Yeah, so that's how much I'm going to pay you?
No, I think that's like, this is who I want, and they got like a number on them.
Right, but you got to pay for it, yeah, I would imagine.
But I didn't see, there was no
cash exchange, mm-hmm. So it might have just been a weird fetish club or something like that. Anyway,
that's
weird. So now we're going to cut to this Issa young lady, and she is now at the fetish club. And she's getting ready to work. Well, actually, we're going to pick up with another random dude who's going to the fetish club, presumably to get his dick sucked for 50 bucks. 50 sure. yen? 50 yen, maybe? I don't know. I don't know what the exchange rate is over there. I've got money to spend. Okay.
And they'll love you for a long time.
They better, but none of them, because they got weird things going on. So,
yeah.
It's a fetish club, you know, a lot of latex, a lot of weird, and a Japanese fetish club at that. So it's like ratcheted up to 25. A lot of weird stuff going on with the DJs, you know, playing the music, and there's like a pole dancing thing going on. It's fine. Mm-hmm. With Issa comes out and she starts doing her little striptease, takes her shirt off, and we find out, I think she had mouths on her boobs.
That's what it looked like. That teeth. It looked like mouths with like teeth, like jagged teeth.
Like crocodile mouths on her boobs.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that explained why that was happening?
No, the only thing I could think of is, I don't know, maybe she cut herself somewhere there and it grew teeth. But okay. I don't know.
Oh, sure. Sure. We're in Japan here. Who gives a shit? So from there, there's some more interesting care. There's Issa with the mouth boobs. There's also a snail girl who had a very nice rack on her, but she also happened to have like a snail shell going on.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? I think there was a chick with tentacles. There's like a bunch of weird dudes. There was a guy with a giant wiener that was flapping around.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what his deal was.
And then that last one that was just... spraying everybody.
Oh, yeah. Some lactation going on in this place. What's Monica say?
Oh, there's like a big conversation going on. If you're not watching our show, you can watch the comments because there's a big conversation going on between Alan and Michelle, or Alan and Monica, about Japanese porn.
It's weird. It's weird. I like Asian chicks. I don't know that I like Asian porn, per se. Because they are into some wackadoodle stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's kind of hard to beat off to that.
Yeah, it's usually blurred out.
Yeah, weird pixelated penises. That's mm-hmm. hard to... I mean, not that I'm looking at the penises, but whatever. We're going off on a tangent here. We got the pixelated penis podcast coming at you later this week. You're going to love that. So it's this weird brothel strip club fetish club situation is going on. This guy goes in and he pays for Issa to, for like a private dance, I guess. So he takes her into a private room. Mm-hmm. She does like a little strip tease for him and then sucks his dick for a few minutes and then bites his dick completely off. And then when he
realizes there's that guy.
There's a dude. Another dude comes in and he's just like hanging out watching the show. And then that's when she bites his wiener off.
Whew.
And spits it at him. And then, but this guy, I guess he's Yakuza or something, because he just happens to have a MAC-10 tucked into his waistband.
Yeah.
So what we get here is like a big battle between Risa, the head engineer. You know he's the head engineer because he has keys, like keys carved into his face.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out earlier in the movie that that's something that's a trait that all the engineers share is they all have key-shaped tumors in their body.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how that plays into anything, but that's what we're doing here. Big battle. Because this guy shoots Issa all to shit, her lower half, like from the vag lips up, kind of turns into like a big gator mouth. Right?
Yeah.
Is there a better way to describe
that?
No,
that's what it looked like.
But it's like sideways, so it's like... And she has no legs now. So yeah. She's doing like a crab walk with her gator vagina
in her hands.
And she still has mouth boobs. We don't know what that's all about yet. After this
Maybe
poor dude.
Maybe that's what it was.
No, because it went all the way around.
Yeah, but if they like pierce it, all of a sudden it's just going to.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how that works. I have no idea. Whatever you kids are into these days, it's beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she manages to kill it. She bites his arm off. And then in a really ridiculous move, while she's chewing on the arm, the dude crawls up to her, finds the tendon, because it was the arm with the MAC-10 in it, finds the tendon hanging out of her mouth that was attached to the trigger finger, pulls that tendon and causes the MAC-10 to discharge, which doesn't kill Issa, but hurts her pretty good and forces her to stop chewing on his severed arm, I guess.
Yeah.
The action sequences in this movie are... I think they were meant to be in a cartoon, in an anime.
I can see that.
Because this is ridiculous. And it's fine. If you're really into anime or you like this movie, then good for you. I hope you enjoyed it. For me... Nah, it's just too much. All right, anyway. So from there, we're going to cut back to Ruka. Now, Ruka is the engineer hunter that we met earlier in the show. She is she's getting ready to go to work.
Well, first the head engineer put the key in the guy that was injured.
That's right. He's creating more engineers as he goes,
yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Because we're going to get to know this dude a little bit better here in a second. Because Ruka's going to work. We find out that Issa, before that, was working at a regular brothel, like for a regular madam. And that's how she came to know the head engineer guy, was because he assaulted her madam and got Issa's number.
Mm-hmm.
But that led to a big fight between Ruka and the head engineer in a subway tunnel. Now, this is pretty wackadoodle and borderline absurd. Well, this whole fucking movie's absurd, but... Ruka decapitates the head engineer guy from, like, the bridge of the nose up. Okay, that part makes sense because mm-hmm. she carries a samurai sword. But because this dude is an engineer, he grows eyeball cannons. Like, the top of his head is still the brain. It's still there. Skull's mm-hmm. gone, hair's gone. But now he's like this brain head. But now he's got two eyeball cannons that come out at you like this. And he shoots things, what... Skull parts, maybe?
It was like internal brain pieces? I don't know.
He's shooting things out of his eyeball cannons yeah. at Risa, okay? I don't know what it is. It's like, look like bullets or some kind of projectile. Yeah. And yeah, Risa is doing a pretty... She's got to dodge and dip and duck and dive these goddamn things. Mm-hmm. And she's like whacking them back with her samurai sword. So apparently she's scared of the eyeball cannon projectiles.
Yeah, it probably hurt, right?
Yeah, but I imagine, if nothing else, leave a welt, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Fuck, piss me off. Ow! God, stop doing that. All right, so that's weird. So from there, we go back to Ruka. She is now, like, obsessed with trying to find this head engineer with his eyeball brain cannon thing. Again, she shows up at a random building somewhere in Japan and finds a random document... that just so happens to have, like, some information on this guy. Mm-hmm. But the good news, though, is that after the battle, Ruka got taken to the hospital. The regular police force was able to recover the top part of that guy's head and put that in some kind of a head recognition program where they were able to identify this dude. Now, this is the most ridiculous part of the movie. Because... And there's a lot of ridiculous parts here, but they put the head in what appears to be a microwave oven, and uh-huh. then it like starts cycling through all the possible matches. It pulls up a picture of the guy, and it says he's 24 years old. This guy had to be at least in his 50s.
Yeah.
He looked like he had seen some better days. Mm-hmm. 24 years old, though. All right, well, that's just me nitpicking. So they, she gets the address on this dude. She goes to his apartment, and he is actually like kind of gracious to her. He's like, "Oh, I've been waiting for you. Come on in." So he brings her in, and they sit down, and they have tea. She's, you know, it's kind of uneasy because it's like she's wanting to kill him, and he's wanting to kill her, but in this weird honor before battle thing that samurais did, it's like, okay, we're going to have tea, we're going to respect each other, and then we'll cut each other to bits.
Right.
So while they're having tea, Brainhead pulls out like a weird slideshow that it looks like he did with crayons or something like that. Yeah. He's got like a, like, you know, like they do on those YouTube videos with the cards, and he's, you know, throwing the cards out. And he's like, "Let me explain something to you, Ruka. You and I are connected in more ways than one. We are not just fierce enemies, but we have things to talk about.
We are allies."
So I'm gonna make a very long, boring story short. Okay, what we're gonna find out is that
Alice says murder tea is the best tea.
I would love to try some murder tea. I would love that. Does anybody have some of that? Where can I purchase some murder tea? It sounds delicious. It probably tastes like shit, actually. Right. But I would buy it just to have it in my cupboard, and then when my enemies come over, would you like some tea? So, we get this very long, stupid backstory, and what we find out is that Brainhead was actually like a super genius, and his dad was a police sniper, but his dad didn't want to kill anybody anymore, so he quit working for the police. But Brainhead was such a genius that he got accepted to all these big-name universities that his dad couldn't afford to send him to. So his dad took one last job. It's always the last job that gets you fucked up. You notice that? One last job for the police chief to cap somebody and get a big payday, and then he could send his genius son to the super school. So he takes the job. Turns out the guy that he had to pull the trigger on was Ruka's dad. So that Brainhead's dad killed Ruka's dad and then was then killed by somebody else. This triggers another flashback from Ruka, and she gets like more memories unlocked. And we find out that the guy that killed Brainhead's dad was the chief of police who ordered the hit on Ruka's dad and is now the chief samurai with the weird gimp thing following him around.
Yeah.
So Ruka's like, "Oh, this is fucking this shit all of a sudden."
Mm-hmm.
So she decides she doesn't want any part of any of this. So she splits Brainhead in half down the middle with the samurai sword and says, "All right, now I'm going after the chief because he started this whole shit to begin with."
Yeah. Monica says, "You get the murder tea from her."
I'll take some. I'll take some. I should mention, before we go, I just want to say Monica's mom actually made us some authentic Hungarian goulash. Beautiful. Outstanding. I realize I look like Donald Trump when I did that. But really, it was really good. That's what I'm telling you. Monica, tell your mom thanks, and I owe her a case of Coca-Cola. And I saved some for Buddy, which I had some serious thoughts about not doing because it's that good. I was just going to eat it all. But I'm not an asshole. I saved some for Buddy.
I look forward to trying it.
He's going to take some home with him tonight. Mm-hmm. Anyway, enough about goulash. So right about this time, I think the engineers kind of united and they decided they had enough of this shit, and which is good because at the same time, the chief of police, there's like a weird side story with another police officer who I think was addicted to drugs, but somehow he got the engineer key put in him. So he tried to shoot up drugs, which caused an injury, which turned him gave him a giant penis.
Yeah.
Right? And then an arm with like a gun on it.
Oh, that's because when the girl bit off his penis, that's what it turned into.
Oh, that was the guy.
That was the guy.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was like a Yakuza dude.
No, no, that was that guy. That's why.
All right.
Well, you give him the key. It's like, okay.
There you go. See that? Buddy just saved you having to watch this movie to try to figure this horse shit out. Thank Buddy, not me. I had nothing to do with it. I had no fucking clue. All right. So now the chief has to come in and kill that dude himself. And now the chief is really pissed off. He's like, "This guy's fucking, he's got involved with an engineer and now turned him into one. That's it. I want a complete extermination of all engineers. Kill them all. So that kind of turns Japan into like a weird police state, and it's like a civil war in the streets between the engineers and the police force. Mm-hmm. Now, normally that would be fine because, you know, Ruka is an engineer hunter, so she should be out having a field day. So while she's out running around trying to get to the chief, she gets injured. I think she got like clipped in the eye or grazed in the eye. And wouldn't you know it, she's an engineer herself because mm-hmm. she gets a cool bionic, like organic bionic, bio-organic eye.
Yeah, it reminds me of Terminator.
Yeah, like, but with like weird veins coming out, like real veins coming out of it. Yeah. It's kind of gross looking, actually. Mm-hmm. And so, oh shit, our engineer hunter is actually an engineer herself. Who would have thought?
Yeah, who knew?
So now we get like a big montage of complete chaos. We got the cops are just, they're using this as an excuse to pretty much kill everybody. Who's this now?
Ray Ray.
I'm finding it hard to follow along because
of a missing suit tie.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Ray, I'm sorry. I should have put a fucking tie on. Look, I'll just maybe I got some mic cords here. Maybe I can kind of. I'm sorry, Ray. You've come to expect more from me in the dressing department, and I clearly have let you down.
Way to dress down.
I know. Fuck. Trying to mix it up a little bit here. All right, anyway.
Pacey's next week.
Absolutely. So it's just chaos in the streets of Japan. They're like running people over and... there's like a cool battle between Issa, who's now like a full engineer. She comes out, and then there's this other cop who's a badass, and she's got like a crazy spear thing that she fucking whips around and stuff, and there's a big battle between these two. All that's going on. Ruka's bartender friend actually gets drawn and quartered by a bunch of cops. That was like 15 minutes. That was like a 15-minute yeah. sequence of them in her bracelets getting handcuffed to each vehicle. And then now they're drinking. The cops are drinking while they're doing this, and they're having a great mm-hmm. time. And
Alan's got a question for you.
What's your question, Alan?
Darian, do you dress up for the podcast, or is this your work clothes?
I dress up for the podcast. Yeah. I do not go to work looking like this. Trust me on that.
No, he doesn't.
I value the podcast much more than I do my job. So I'll dress up for this. Work, t-shirt and shorts.
There you have it.
It's the truth, too.
Yep.
These guys have seen me at work. It's stupid. So from there, we get the big showdown between Ruka and the chief. And she has to like fight her way through a bunch of other cops. She kills them and... grandiose blood geyser fashion, and then she gets to the chief, and this is where we find out that the little gimp thing has like retractable blades that come out of its appendages,
yeah,
and it can apparently like climb up the walls and get on the ceiling and
yeah,
shit.
That was weird. Very animated.
Yes, fucking. There, that's what it does, man. That's it's mm-hmm. like I don't know. It's like a Silent Hill thing or something. But she's got to kill that thing, too, which she does. And then she kills, that thing, if I remember right, didn't it cut one of her arms off? She gets one of her arms off, but it grows into like a big snapping gator arm yeah. claw thing. So now she's got that plus the bionic eye. And to make a long story short, she kills the police chief. And most of the cops end up dying, too. And... That's about the end of your movie. I think we are led to believe that was the end of the privatization of the Japanese police force and pretty much the end of your movie. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, at the very end of it, she's seen with the main engineer walking away, but I didn't quite understand that if she killed him.
I thought that was Issa, not Ruka.
Oh, was that Issa?
I think so.
Okay.
All Asians look alike to Buddy. I tried talk to him about this. He didn't want to listen. The reason I think it was Issa is because she had the schoolgirl outfit on.
Oh,
and
maybe
Ruka had the. Not that I mention it though, the female police uniform not that different from the schoolgirl uniform. Plaid skirt, white shirt. That's it. Really, that's they're really into the plaid skirts over there.
She was kind of like the Men in Black type chick.
Who? Ruka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's why she didn't wear the full like body armor.
And you could tell at the end of the movie because she had a big pulsating bionic eye thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever. So, but at the end though, the main engineer has somehow gotten his full head back on. I don't know how that happened because he was split down the middle. First he was decapitated at the bridge of the nose. And then after he has murder tea with Ruka, he gets split down the middle. But at the end of the movie, he is completely put back together, but he's got a cool scar that does like a right there. And then he wakes up on the side of the road and walks off with Issa. And that's the end of your show there. Oh, God. Not a fan, man. This is an hour and 46 minutes long.
Yeah, it was a long one. That corpse guy.
The weird doctor?
Yeah. Is that the whole fist thing?
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, he gives the fingers going at it. Shooter, it goes around the string or whatever.
Come on, man.
Like, seriously.
So, what Buddy's talking about, there's like a medical examiner there at the police precinct or whatever.
Shooting fists.
When Ruka is trying to fight her way to the chief, she has to fight this dude who has built himself. He's got like a weird collection of body parts.
Fist cannon?
But he's built himself like a giant fist revolver.
Yeah.
And it just fires like fists. Boom, boom, boom. And they come flying out at Ruka.
And he's grabbing hands right and left.
He's reloading this fucking thing. And boom, boom, boom. And he's like a weird hunchback character. Oh, God. Maybe I just wasn't in the mood for this. Maybe we don't need an hour and 46 minutes of this nonsense. You know, this, I feel like this was written to be an anime, but somehow somebody threw a couple $3 million at it and it became Tokyo Gore Police.
Monica says, come on guys, this is a drinking movie.
Maybe I was not drinking when I watched it. I was trying to figure out, I'm trying to tell you what the fuck is going on here, Monica. And I'm trying to watch this thing and be like, okay, that's her sister, or was he nailing her? Who is this guy? I'm trying to keep track of what the hell's happening here. I can't do it. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe if I did have a couple beers in me, which I'm not going to watch this movie again.
No.
No. This is the second time I've seen it.
Oh.
Didn't make sense the first time either, for fuck's sake. This is Cake Wolf's fault. Cake Wolf.
Yeah, that's true.
You picked this one, and thank you, by the way, for your Patreon contributions, but...
But.
But! I just don't get it, man. Maybe there's things that are lost in translation because it's Japanese, or... maybe you have to be... Maybe if I was a big anime fan, this might make more sense to me.
Maybe.
I don't get it. What's Ray saying here? Crazy starting a new job. I've never stopped listening. No. Oh, she's talking to Ray. No, they're talking amongst themselves now.
Yep.
Inmates, if you want about 150 gallons of fake blood, if you are in the mood for mouth boobs, or boob mouths, I guess would be a more apt description.
Boob mouths.
Yeah. Boob mouths and gator pussies, then this is the movie for you. If you want a weird collection of scenes that involve Asian chicks in plaid schoolgirl outfits, plaid skirts, then Tokyo Gore Police for you, my friends. If you're looking to actually watch a movie and get a story out of it, keep on heading on down the line there, kids. That's what I say. Buddy, what did you think of Tokyo Gore Police?
I thought it was all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you like about it?
Well, it definitely kept me interested just watching the whole thing. All the gore and stuff was kind of cracking me up. I mostly was laughing through this entire movie.
Could you keep track of what the hell the story was here?
No.
No? Yeah. You just gave up? I think that's what it is, dude. You got to just quit trying to discern a story here and just maybe just enjoy it for being the wackadoodle that it is.
Yeah, I could care less about the whole plot of this guy killed my dad and the whole et cetera, et cetera. It was just a wacky movie. I was just watching it for engineers are going after people and the police are trying to get the engineers, turning out the police people are turning bad and killing everybody, all the citizens.
It's crazy in the streets of Japan is what it is.
I just found it entertaining as a laugh factor.
Maybe I took it too seriously.
Probably.
Maybe. I tried to That's what my problem is, I guess. All right, inmates, I think that's going to do us for Tokyo Gore Police. Stay tuned, and we'll do some other stuff, huh?
Yeah.
G'day, mate. Welcome to Australia. Home of baby-eating dingoes, 100 different animals ready to kill you, Mick Taylor, Mick Dundee, and 20 other guys called Mick. Oh, and the dumbest bloke on planet Earth.
I'm Ben, and I'm here to learn about horror films.
But fear not. I've come to help this poor special needs kid as I make him sit down and watch some of the greatest and not so greatest horror films out there in our podcast, Horror for Dummies.
Hooray!
So join us every week on the Padded Room Network as we talk about horror films, old and new, and listen to some favourite tracks while we spray some spiders. So the question stands, where the bloody hell are ya?
So jump onto your kangaroo and hop on over to the Padded Room Network.
Catch a new episode of Horror for Dummies every Friday or whenever the hell Darian Brock likes to put them out.
About a year ago?
We'll be right back.
this one more than that.
Hey, inmates. If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back.
Oh, shit.
Inmates, you'll be happy to know that I am now in my pajamas.
Yeah.
And I did not wear a tie for the YouTube segment this week, but I did wear a suit and dress shirt. I thought I'm trying to mix it up. Ray Ray comes on, gives me a bunch of shit about not wearing a tie. See what I did there? I set I set my personal standard too high. Now, if I don't wear a suit and tie, people are going to think I'm slipping.
I know. You should have started the opposite way.
I should
start
have.
Start off with like nothing. And
like a
like
bathrobe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come in my boxers and a wife beater, scratching my belly button.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie was all right, I guess.
Got to build it up. You know?
That's what it is. I fucked up. I fucked up there. Sure did. All right, buddy. Are you ready to get back into the Terra Dome?
I am more than ready.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
I'm not gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in. I'll kill you all. I'll drive you crazy. I'll kill you all. I'll make your dream come true.
6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. With blackest eyes. The devil's eyes.
Welcome to the Terra Dome.
No winners to announce because we just closed out the preliminary rounds. And we're now in the semifinal rounds. We are going right back to the Singles Division Asylum Conference Round 9. As usual, inmates, bear with me. I'm not very good at writing things. Death's design had been subverted yet again. The psychotic killer Millard Fendelmeyer had eluded his demise. Not only was he still on Earth, but he had moved consciousness to an unassuming gingerbread man and had continued his bloody rampage. Millard's soul was required in hell, and every minute the gingerdead man spent walking was another affront to the natural order of things. The gingerdead man himself was in the throes of another teenage bloodbath, 3 by knife and 2 by gun. Two of the victims had plans of their own, stalking around in some ghost mask trying to take credit for his hard work. He'd made quick work of them in the bakery's broom closet and left their bodies for the others to find. Now they were all dead and Millard was on his way out. There would be more people to kill now and less to worry about. He was the ginger dead man after all, and he could not be killed. Singles competition, we have Death versus the ginger dead man.
Oh man, this is a good one.
You think so? I think you're crazy. What do you think, buddy?
You know, I'm going to go with ginger dead man, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
He's already dead, so what's Death going to do?
He's a fucking gingerbread cookie.
But it's dead already.
A hungry dog could chew him up and swallow him, and then that would be the end of that. I'm taking Death because I'm not a crazy person. I don't get it, man. I don't know. Well, I do know because he opened up against Ghostface, but I don't think the ginger dead man needs to be in this tournament any longer. I'm sorry, Tony. Okay? I said it. I'm sorry. Let's take a look at the team's competition, shall we? Asylum Conference Round 9. Vladimir and his team had been tracking the vampire's movements for years. He knew that they stood no chance of capturing one of them alive until the technology caught up to them. But he wanted to be ready to move when it did. V Then an Umbrella Corporation insider gives Vladimir the inside track on a new prototype, ultraviolet-charged silver-lined mesh netting, designed specifically for the capture and apprehension of what Umbrella was referring to as UV-sensitive targets. With a handful of the new prototypes loaded into net guns, Vladimir and his team set down on the Vampire's vessel as it returns to the Balkans. The Vampires themselves were in hibernation, having just gorged themselves over a 30-day period in the sunless Barrow, Alaska. A meteoric impact had proved a slight distraction during the undead meal, but the small black furry creatures contained therein did little to slow the feast. Now they rested uneasily. Centuries of human persecution had taught them to be light sleepers, and all it would take is one of them to stir before the rest were awake and ready. Team's competition, we have the 30 Days of Night Vampires versus the Elite Hunting Company. Buddy?
I'm going to go with the Elite Hunting Company.
Okay, well, I expected that because you're crazy. I'm going to go with the 30 Days of Night Vampires. What is your logic behind the Elite Hunting Company? You don't have any.
Nope. Just going out on a
limb. Just pulling that one out of my ass, boys. Yeah,
going for the underdog.
Hey, do what you do, man. That's why we love you. Those are your Terror Dome matchups for the weekend, mates and singles. It's the Ginger Dead Man versus Death from the Final Destination movies. And teams, it's the 30 Days of Night Vampires versus the Elite Hunting Company. As usual, get us your votes by next week. The Mental Health Hotline is area code 775-387-0275, or you get us on the regular old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. In the meantime, kids, we're going to tell you a thing or two about what movies we got to watch this week in a little segment called What Are You Looking At?
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
So I'm trying to do the 30 horror movies in 31 days challenge.
Yeah,
31 and 31. I've hit every day thus far.
All right.
Naturally, two of those were our immersion therapy and our feature film. Also got in Phantasm from 1979. Mm. You've all seen that one. The Unwilling from 2016.
How was that?
Not very good.
Okay.
Lance Henriksen in there for about a minute and a half. But these... It's like a... Dysfunctional family is there for the reading of his will, and then there's like a puzzle. It's like a treasure box, but it grants you one wish.
Huh.
The problem is that one of the family members is an agoraphobe, and he doesn't want anybody to leave his house. Thus, they're all trapped there.
Right.
The Daisy Chain from 2008. This one's boring as shit.
Okay.
Yeah. This little girl, this like feral little girl, becomes orphaned on the Irish countryside. So the neighbors take her in, and then a bunch of weird shit happens. It's a very depressing version of The Omen, I think.
Okay.
There you go.
Depressing version.
I mean, yeah, at least it's just so drab. Ireland would be a good place to visit, I think. I don't think I'd want to live there. At least not right. As it's depicted in the Daisy Chain, because it's okay. Like they're right there on the coast. Mm-hmm. It's cold and rainy all the time, from what it looks like, and it looks pretty miserable, actually. Hmm. You know,
okay.
I don't know. Satan's Slaves from 2017
sounds like a porno.
wish it was actually. I think it's Filipino. I think I'm not 100% sure. It's Asian. It's like this. Poverty-stricken family. The mom dies, and then you find out after she dies that she made a deal with the devil, more or less, and now the devil's come to claim the last-born child of the family. Okay. So there's like a lot of paranormal stuff going on. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's on Shudder, if you want to check that one out. Lastly, Almost Human from 2013. You seen this one?
Mm-mm.
Pretty good. Guy gets abducted by aliens, and then he comes back, and he's trying to spread the alien seed, per se.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not in a pornographic way.
Oh, okay.
He's got like a tentacle thing that comes out of his mouth and attaches to people. Not a penis, buddy. God. Immature. It's actually a pretty good show. It's got a very 80s John Carpenter vibe to it, I feel.
Oh, nice.
Not bad. That's all I'm looking at, buddy. You get to watch anything this week?
I did. You know, since we spent the evening with Tom Hardy, I figured, you know what? I better check out Venom.
Yeah?
Yes.
Give us a diagnosis, doctor.
I totally agree with Nick far as they should have went with R rating on it.
Hmm.
Because obviously Venom, you know, is to bite people's heads off and stuff like that. Well, they don't show any of that.
Oh.
It just alludes to it.
Okay.
And then, of course, they talk about it. Hey, why'd you bite that guy's head off? You know, kind of thing.
Right.
Great movie otherwise. Far as a comic, I'm not too familiar with the comics. So, for me, I absolutely loved it. But I am hearing the same that if you are huge into the Venom comics, that you'll probably not like the movie.
Okay.
But yeah, I didn't know anything, and I absolutely loved it.
Right on.
All four of us actually liked it.
Fair assessment.
Yeah.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into some... Was that it? Did you get to watch anything else?
Nope, that was it.
I figured that much. Let's do some immersion therapy.
Immersion therapy.
See what happens when you take a week off?
Yeah.
Bleed. What the fuck was this all about?
Oh, cut me open and let me bleed watching it.
Jeez. Oh, God. That was a bad one, man.
That's how you roll.
That's my job. That's what happens when you take a week off, you son of a bitch.
You make me look good.
That's right. That'll teach him. Here's bleed.
Yeah.
Enjoy that, you fucks.
That's right.
It's bad. I'll give it that. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of redeeming qualities here. I feel like they tried to start so many different things, and then they just stopped. You know what I'm saying? Like the chick who was seeing people, and she had to take her medication. And you think that's going to go somewhere.
It doesn't.
And then she just gets killed 5 minutes later, and it's, oh, okay, I guess that doesn't matter then.
Yeah, because everybody else is seeing everything she sees anyway.
Yeah, but she's at the beginning, oh, I have these imaginary friends, and I have to take these pills, and if I don't take them, then... they come back and they talk to me, and then she's dead. And,
yeah.
Okay, why did you spend all that time setting that up if it's not going to go anywhere? I don't know, man.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Sure. This movie, however, did not.
Right.
So I feel like they really failed because they had that great abandoned institution or whatever it was.
Yeah,
it
could have gone somewhere.
Could have done a lot more with that.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? It seemed to me like it was more like some kind of a bunker or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, it did have like prison cells underneath it.
It did,
or
some kind of holding areas. I don't know. It was very strange. It looked like the whole thing was underground,
mm-hmm.
which it might have been. I don't know. I felt like they definitely missed the mark on that.
Yeah.
I felt like they just said, "Okay, we're going to make a horror movie. We have this underground bunker thing. We have a pregnant lady." Just roll. Just start rolling, and we'll try to figure it out as we go.
Yeah, let's see what we come up with.
Yeah. Fucking. What we get is bleed. well, you know what? Let's just throw a lens. We got 12 guys hanging around in sheriff's outfits. Let's just, get them in there. Get them chasing people around.
Yeah, chase.
I don't know. We'll figure it out when we're done.
Fuck it. Keep rolling.
Just go. Hey, can you guys act angry? Okay, good. Go. Yeah. Very strange. Not a good show. Sorry. What, you watched Delirium from the week before?
Yes.
What'd you like better, Delirium or Bleed?
Delirium.
I would probably go Delirium, too. At least Delirium had, like, production value.
Yeah.
And while it was a very slow and tiresome story, there was a story there.
There was, yeah.
Bleed was just all over the fucking place.
Yeah, it was.
It is too much.
Too much
too
going
crazy.
On.
Too crazy for the D-Man. Buddy?
Yes.
Redeem me, please.
All right. This week, let's check out 2018's Malevolent. It is written by Ben Cattell, directed by Olaf DeFleur, stars Florence Pugh, Ben Lloyd Hughes, Scott Chambers, and Georgina Bevan.
Check that out, inmates. We'll do the same, and we can compare notes next week.
Yes.
In the meantime, well, I guess we got no Miss Monica to educate.
Yeah.
Do you have a guess at who or what she might have been?
No clue.
They take over your body, giant monsters on an island. I don't think anybody got anything on that.
Mm-mm.
Well, you got another week to ponder it, inmates, so think about that and
yeah.
Let us know what you come up with. Other than that, I think that's about going to do us on the week there, my friend.
Yeah.
Short episode, no Monica, so Not much to talk about in the movie department either, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Go see Venom. I want to hear what everybody else thinks.
Yeah, go check it out. Maybe I will. No, I won't. I don't have time for that. I would love to, but I don't know when I would, so sorry. All right, inmates. Like, comment, subscribe wherever you found this show. That always helps us out a lot. If you get a chance, float on over to iTunes, drop us a 5-star review, and leave us some comments down there. You don't have to stroke our egos or anything. Leave us a recipe for chicken stew or something. I don't know. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Murder tea.
Murder tea. But let us know where you find murder tea besides Miss Monica's house. Yeah. I got weird policy about eating things that Monica brings me. Although the goulash was pretty good, man.
Oh, I can't wait.
But her mom made that. So I think if Monica brings me food that somebody else made, it's okay. If she says, hey, I made this for you, I'm going to have somebody else take a bite first.
Yeah, your life is on the line.
That's right.
Are you trying to kill me right now? Or?
Hey, Ted, how do you feel? Yeah. You doing okay? Got to go to the bathroom or anything? No? All right, I'll try some.
Let the dogs try it out first.
We do have a Patreon campaign running, inmates, all kinds of bonus content and prize swag over there. Head on over to patreon.com, Padded Room Pod, if you're at all interested in any of that stuff. Other than that, I think that's about it for the week. Buddy, you got anything else?
No.
Me neither. Join us next week, inmates, for The Last Witch Hunter here in Action Horror Month. And other than that, I think for Buddy and Miss Monica in absentia, visiting hours are over.
Bye, and have a great week.
The truth and dare is a drug for the first time.